Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, AJ Benza comes in on this half of the show and always knocks it out of the ballpark. Guys, there's really only one AJ Benza. I think that's the best way to describe AJ Benza. So we'll talk to him about everything. First, Indochino, world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Suits, shirts, coats, and more. Personalize the lapel. How about a lining of with your own monogram? How about that? Almost all custom clothing for under $400. Simple. Choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. What could be easier? Black Friday event they're having until December 1st. Get custom suits from just $289, plus their best prices on overcoats, shirts, and more. Upgrade your style now. Get $30 off your total purchase. If the purchase is $399 or more at Indochino.com, enter Adam at checkout, plus free shipping. That's Indochino.com. Use the code Adam. Get the $30 worth of savings on the $399 or more at Indochino.com.
The holidays are around the corner. It's time to drink too much, eat too much, and fight about Trump at the dinner table. Luckily, we've got just what you need to make the most of this most wonderful time of the year. Introducing the Carolla Christmas Stocking. The custom embroidered stocking is adorned with the hand-knit word, acehole, sewed on by talented elves and or children from the Orient. What's inside? Glad you asked. With your purchase of the Carolla Christmas Stocking, you'll get an ACS Nativity Scene t-shirt featuring Max Apata as Baby Jesus and Adam as Mother Mary, a custom Happy Birthday Jesus ornament, 4 Carolla Drinks wine glasses, plus 2 bottles of your choice, all for only $99. And for those who want to go big for the holiday season, you can also purchase the Stocking Scrapbook Combo for only $175. Get the stocking and the 10 years of ACS scrapbook, signed by the entire network for the ultimate Carolla fan in your life. So get to CarollaDrinks.com today and get ready. The holidays are coming.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Still got that stuff to find, Max Apata.
Plenty to do in there.
I need a shot of Bart Braverman as Bins. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Well, Fox News reports that Prince Andrew is dealing with harsh backlash from critics and media personalities over an interview about his relationship with the now deceased, the recently died Jeffrey Epstein.
He was killed.
Yeah, he was died, they're saying, as a joke, because they can't say that he was. Yeah. And I can't wait to get your opinion on that, of Jeffrey Epstein and numerous sexual assault allegations against him. So 59-year-old Andrew was interviewed by BBC's Newsnight's Emily Matlis on Thursday at Buckingham Palace for this big tell-all, which many agree was a complete, total public relations disaster. Many in the media.
Well, leading into this was a lot of that Project Veritas tape where the news anchor lady was saying, I had the goods on all these guys, and then want to bring in Prince Andrew because they wanted access to the royals.
Yeah, but that's very disturbing, too, that we're not doing anything with that. Even though Rohrbach said she had this 3 years ago, no one's following up on it. We just let it go. That's the new news?
That's the new news.
That's journalism. Get out of here.
So many in the media, very quick to deride Prince Andrew for not only defending his buddy, Epstein, but for failing to show empathy for the for the victims. So Virginia Roberts, I'm sure you've heard that name by now. She also goes by Virginia Giuffre.
Yes.
She said she was the one that was forced to have sex with Andrew in 2001. She was 17. There's pictures of them together. Mm-hmm. She says Epstein flew around the world on private planes to have sex with powerful men and that she had sexual
back at Bob Evans' house circa 1977, looking at Jack and Warren, and they're all going, okay, what's the story? Get to the what happened.
What's the problem?
Did the plane crash? If the plane's fine, then.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What's the bad part?
Some kind of aviation disaster?
You know, he was was having sex with 17-year-olds.
Did she stiff him on the tip?
Yeah, no, but she's technically underage, and he's flying her to different
countries. I told her the money's on the counter. This is bullshit now.
I'm going to get a bowl of Coke. I don't know what's going on here.
So here's a clip from the interview that is getting
chopping up. Hold on, it's coming at you.
Draw me a rail.
This is a little mashup that's getting a lot of attention.
She was very specific about that night. Mm. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have possibly...
There's a slight problem with the sweating because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat.
Prince Andrew, who's...
By the way, I would stop it right now. I'd go. Know what I'd be on? Right now, you got a camera and lights in my face. You're asking me about pedophilia. You see a drop of sweat? I'm like, zoom in, bitch. You see an oily T-zone? Guess who don't sweat? Because if I did sweat, now'd be the time.
That's a good point.
I'm wearing a fucking three-piece suit. We're indoors. Yeah. We just shut the air off because the sound guy beside the boom said he didn't want the air off. And I'm sitting here dry as a bone, bitch.
That is a good point.
That's a very good point.
I tell him, let it go. Keep going. Come
on. Keep going.
Let's see it. Damn drop of British blood on me.
The rare medical condition during his combat tour in the Falklands War. The royal also casting doubt on the authenticity of this photo, appearing to show him with Joufry when she says she was just 17.
That's me, but whether that's my hand or whether that's the position, I have simply no recollection of a photograph ever being taken.
Well, that doesn't mean.
Yeah, so that's it. It's all over.
So done. And he even said, I remember specifically because that night I took my daughter to a pizza party.
Yeah, that's
and,
the best.
And the reporter goes, why, out of all of the memories that you have, would you remember taking your daughter to a pizza place?
Yeah, you run to the calendar and you mark down pizza place with such and such. Listen, the guy says, I don't hug. He said, I don't hug in public. Right. I don't do public hugging. Yeah, but privately you want your salad tossed. But public hugging is not something the royals do.
He's so
full of crap, this guy.
Well, we haven't talked to AJ about Jeffrey Epstein, and I'm kind of dying to see if he has thoughts.
No, well, God, thoughts. Where do we begin? I could tell you, 20 years ago, here's the first row in the Victoria's Secret fashion show. Donald Trump, Russell Simmons, Jeffrey Epstein, and me. Good company I was keeping. No, the guy killed himself. I know guys who've been in that cell or those cells and have said, you can't hang yourself on anything there. Someone's got to come in and kill you. They got to give you something for you to do it. Either way, it's very crooked. I know this is old news, but I don't believe for 1 second he killed himself. No.
I saw like Dr. Baden,
Yeah.
Pathologists, forensic, whatever, interviews said they just don't crack.
Three broken bones
don't do it
and
that
I heard
way.
I heard an eye socket bone also.
Really?
No, they're claiming from
falling on the ground.
Come on. Give me a break. Give
do,
me a break.
Do you have any, wondering also if you have thoughts on Ghislaine Maxwell, his sort of right-hand woman?
Listen, this whole thing is shady because...
Because she's still gone.
I know. The feds everywhere can't find her. They can't find the guy Jean-Luc, the model, the guy that had the agency that was getting them a lot of girls. The point is, we're never going to know this story. It's never going to be revealed because everybody is 2 or 3 degrees of separation and less from Jeffrey Epstein. So you could forget it. You better off stop talking about it. We'll never know.
But between Trump and Clinton being his best buddy.
Trump is one flight before it was the Lolita Express. Trump is one flight. I'll catch a ride like billionaires do. It's like a fucking car ride. But 27 times, Clinton, that's a whole different kind of guy.
What is going on with the news in general? I mean, between the Weinstein situation and the Matt Lauer situation and the Epstein situation, like they've just decided to stop reporting on this, or is it too damning for all of them?
Of course, it's damning, but when I was at the news, you still went after stories that were damning. Now, there are times when a publisher has a friend in high places and you're asked to write a story a certain way or take out somebody's knees because my buddy got knocked around in Vanity Fair. That happens. But to just drop investigations and not go any further, I've never seen these before in my life. And they're all frauds. Everybody you see on television, on any network who's talking shit, it's so easy to follow the dots. No one's finding Ghislaine Maxwell. No one knows how to say her name right. No one's touching this, and it just stinks that everybody knows somebody powerful who's guilty, so they can't. Their hands are tied.
So it died with him.
Of course, and that's the thing. So does a guy like him – see, a guy like him has such an ego with the cameras and the sex and the girls – You don't kill yourself when you have an ego like that. Nobody with an ego will kill himself like that.
That's interesting. OJ, I've always said that. Himself. I've always said that. Like, I always thought, like, why doesn't OJ kill himself? Why? And these guys are such egomaniacs. They would never do it.
And Epstein, now we're finding out there were pinhole cameras in rooms where there was a room with a fake door where they had television monitors that had the bathrooms all over his house wired for video and some bedrooms. So the guy had dirt on everybody. You don't check out. You kind of wait to throw that trump card down. We're just never going to know. It's so aggravating because this would have been the biggest story ever.
Yep. And he tied, a day or two before this happened, before he died himself, he tied up all of his money in all these funds so victims will never get it. We'll never touch it.
There's a way to find, I'm not this good at it, but there's a way to find the money transactions. Somebody got a haul of money for Epstein to be killed. Somebody got paid off, and I don't know much about following money trails that go overseas and stuff like that, but yeah. I remember when I was getting paid by Harvey Weinstein in 2002 to do some stuff for him, not about women. And I never heard of the banks this fucking money was coming from. These checks were coming from some places that I don't even know existed in the world.
Well, the Harvey,
can I cash this check at Citibank? No, not this one. Okay. I'll deposit it.
The Harvey Weinstein stuff was, he, I guess, had some goods on Matt Lauer.
Sure.
And so they weren't going to do anything on him.
See
while
how
he
works?
Had the goods on Lauer.
You know why, Adam? Because they all go to the same country club. They're all with the same people, the same doctors, the same Hamptons place. They all have the same. They're all connected. They're all connected, and they can't afford to knock that guy down because they know they're just as guilty.
Right. Interesting. Interesting that these amazing stories, and they're not being followed up on.
Yeah.
And it would have been, look, it's the guy who never caught the flight, never banged the 17-year-old. I'm just sitting on the sidelines. Going, by the way, I've thought of as a misogynistic douchebag.
Right. Oh,
think how bad it would be if you fall.
I get all the fucking labels, yeah. None of the pussy. You know how the
the worst life.
The pre-AIDS mid-coke is the best. All the fucking labels and no pussy, that's the worst.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't want to be there.
And all these fucking assholes that are pointing their fingers at everybody. Hey, man, you guy. Okay, let's see some of your heroes. Drop it now. But now, none of the pussy.
No.
All the labels.
Sad.
Yeah,
that's
very sad.
Well,
got a picture of Bart Braverman yet, Max Pat?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What'd I tell you?
Jesus.
He's okay?
He's half paid.
What is it? That's like a white AIDS Sammy Davis or something. What's going on with this guy?
I'm telling you.
He looks like he just saw the Ark of the Covenant.
Now, who is this? Wait, who is this? This is
Bart Braverman.
What did he do with Dantana?
His name was Bins.
Oh, that was Bins.
Was short for Binzer.
Oh, my.
And he, like, would clean pools and run down leads for Dantana. But he was the guy that made Dantana look that much better standing next to the hot chick.
Sure.
Look, that guy got paid in coke. Look at his forehead. It's so shiny. Hey, Bins, I got some more for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of controversy, the Houston Astros have essentially been caught red-handed stealing signs during the World Series in 2017. Uh-huh. And a documentary from their championship year appears to have given a first-hand look at the setup they used to do it. I'll show you in a second. The footage was fed to a monitor in a hallway between the home dugout and the clubhouse. A player or staffer would watch the monitor to see which pitch the opposing catcher was calling for and then loudly bang the trash can to let the hitter know if an off-speed pitch was coming. So here's a clip so you can see what exactly they're looking at. When he comes through.
On the left, yeah.
Yes. Trash can, laptop, chair.
See all the peanut shells? They've been there for a while.
Right, exactly. The more that comes out, the weaker the Houston's defense is going to be. It's only a matter of time before Major League Baseball takes disciplinary action against them.
Do they?
They're in trouble.
Wait, what'd they do in 2017?
They won the World Series. The Yankees got beat by. I'm pissed off because twice now the Yankees got. Nah, this is bullshit.
And
this
now
is
it's
Dodgers,
2 years
right?
later.
2 years ago, the Dodgers.
2 years ago,
right?
Was Dodgers. Yeah.
So that was this year. What
17?
That's the year we're
17?
Talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
So he said this year.
Oh, I mean the year we speak of. Yeah, are they? Can they take away the World
that's
Series?
That's my question.
No, they won't do that.
They'll take away draft picks.
They'll ban an owner or a manager. They'll do that.
Yeah.
Someone's got this. This has to be like after the steroid era and the Black Sox scandal. This one has to have major penalties.
But what about just this past World Series? Just because they didn't win, are we not investigating that?
No, because they had a great record, but they got very far.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's also guys, everybody's talking about the banging the trash can, whatever.
Banging the Can Slowly, one of the greatest
movies, right? The better one was people,
about baseball.
People have a wrist bandage. It looks like an ace bandage, but there's like a sensor in there, and it'll vibrate on your wrist.
That's
one for a change
shit.
Up, two for a fastball.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like, you don't need to bang it. Just and a guy knows he sits on a fastball or he sits on a curve.
It's interesting bad. Stuff. All right, let me hit Mercari, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. It's all coming up these days. Here's another chance. You can sell your shit Sunday. How about that? Created by Mercari. You got a bunch of stuff. You don't know what to do with it. It's clogging up your house. It's looking like Bob Evans' place over there after a big party. They got an app. It's a Mercari app. It makes selling your stuff fast and easy. Just take a few pics, add a description, and it's listed. Mercari even emails a shipping label when it sells. No awkward meetups. 500,000 plus reviews, positive reviews on the app store, and average 4.8 in the ratings department. So that's pretty darn good. Finally, an app that makes you money. Check out Mercari. And make every day sell your shit Sunday. That's what it says. The day, the day's made up, but the money's real. That's Mercari. It's the app, and it's the selling app. It's Mercari. All right, what else we got, Tina Graham?
Well, TMZ reports that the two men who sued Michael Jackson's estate and were the subject of Leaving Neverland, the documentary, are set to get their day in court to press the sexual abuse claims against the singer's estate.
You know, I must say, like, I believe most all of that stuff, but it is interesting watching that doc sitting next to Mark Geragos and seeing how they cook that doc.
They edited
and
that footage.
There's a lot of cooking out there.
I know there is. It's actually disappointing because I wanted to believe everything these guys said because I think Michael Jackson's disgusting. But yeah, I know. You're right. Especially when they also, he mentioned that they were in certain rooms that weren't even built yet. That's, I forget which one of the kids, Safechuck or somebody said, yeah, we're in the train house or whatever. And no, it wasn't even there yet.
Right.
That's not good.
I make docs and you have to kind of decide what you leave in, what you leave out, and how you put it together, you know, and you can change a story in a doc.
I agree. I think having seen a million docs, I think you can draw the line between believing the accusers and the way the documentary is made. Like the makers of the movie are trying to make a compelling story and trying to convince you of something. Whereas
I agree.
The victims have their own stories.
I believe the victims. I'm still saying it's a little bit out of bounds when you're making a doc to take a clip and attach it to something else.
I agree with that.
And it seemed like, especially, it wasn't just anyone. It was Mark Geragos. It was a famous high-powered attorney. Why didn't he sue?
Oh, there's two things in it. He probably can't. He's also he's got so many cases. And also, everyone thinks he's a douchebag. He doesn't care.
No, I like that guy.
He is. It's so funny to know Dr. Drew and Mark Geragos in the same life. They're both, you know, old friends and neighbor issues, and I enjoy spending time with both of them. Dr. Drew cares infinitely about what people think of him, and Geragos doesn't give two shits.
That's great.
And they coexist somehow.
It's easier to be Geragos.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, you'd think he'd have a case, but you're probably right. He has enough going on. So Wade Robson and James Safechuck sued Michael Jackson for sexual abuse, but their lawsuits were dismissed in 2017, partly due to the statute of limitations, because they were kids when they said it happened. Both appealed their rulings, and the cases have been stuck in appellate court until now. Yeah. So TMZ learned that the California Court of Appeal just issued a tentative ruling which would overturn the dismissals on grounds a new California law extends the statute of limitations for child sexual abuse. So that means that it's not a guarantee, but Robson and Safechuck could have their cases heard before a jury now.
I just don't want them to win big sums of money. I'm just against that. Like, it's been so many frigging years.
What's the number? Why not?
No, not 20, 25, 30 years later. I'm sick of it.
When did Jackson die?
2000.
It was the day before my wedding. It was June 25th, 2009.
Wow.
All right, so we're 10 years.
Oh, good.
I remember where I was. I was up in Napa.
There you go.
I'm thinking. Sarah Fawcett. Sonny was alive. He was a young boy.
It could have been 26. I'm pretty sure it was 2 days.
No, 25th, because Farrah Fawcett died the same
day. That's right. That morning.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Nobody remembers.
No, I just think after a certain number of years, then if you could still win, but the amount of money's got to come down.
What about the church, though? It's like these entities, like the Jackson.
Oh, that's
estate.
A whole different thing. No, wait. The Catholic Church, which has an organization of men that are predators versus one guy. No, the Catholic Church, get whatever you can get forever. Fuck them. And I'm a Catholic.
I was just curious if there's
no, I hate those. They're the worst. They're the worst. My father told me, he's a kid, he's not going to reach his communion. My mother goes, no, let him go to... No. Why? The priests, they touch little boys. This is 1968. Mm-hmm. How could you say that? They touch little boys. My son's not going there. I never went.
Oh, we got the side-by-side leaving land with the Garrigus there. Somebody put this together.
We will land on you like a ton of bricks. We will land on you like a hammer. If you do anything to besmirch this man's reputation, anything to intrude on his privacy in any way that's actionable, we will unleash a legal torrent like you've never seen.
We will demand...
Michael called.
All right.
They implied that it was referring to the saying that to the children.
Like retribution.
Not good. Right. Not good at all. That changes everything.
Well, I don't know that it changes a bottom line molestation, I just don't
changes my
think
feelings.
You want to go there when you're
There's
making no a documentary? There's no reason to do it.
Don't use that clip. Don't change what the man was saying. That's terrible.
Anything of Ben's interacting with the
more important stuff.
Is any clips of either Dan Tana landing in a backyard with a hot chick or paging Dan Tana?
I think you mean paging Bert Cohen, right? Is it paging Dan Tana? Did they say paging Dan Tana?
Who was Bert Cohen? He got paged?
Who's Bert Cohen?
Bert Dentist is Bert Cohen.
Well, supposedly there's a guy named Bert Cohen from Vegas who they say in every episode they page him.
Oh.
So I don't know if...
Paging Bert Cohen was...
Paging Dan Tana.
Okay, let me...
All right.
Hey, get some Dan... How about some Dan August stuff? Remember Bert Reynolds sliding across the bar and his show, Dan August?
No, August. I don't.
Every time I hear Dan August, your friend, your manager,
Mike
I always
August.
Think of Bert
Mike
Reynolds.
August.
Mike August. Yeah, I always think of Bert. Yeah, there was a show that I forget how many, probably on for 2 years, but Bert, he slides across the bar head first to tackle some guy in a bar fight.
There used to be a lot.
He's talking about you fuck ass.
There's a lot of bar fights, and there's a lot of guys getting their head put through, windows and machine. One of those
pinball machines.
Oh no, they do jukebox, pinball machine. There was
dragged
the guy down the bar.
Yeah. So everybody's drink came off.
Everybody's
his
drink,
face.
Dragging him along the bar.
Yeah, look, Dan August, man.
There he is,
wow.
Bert Reynolds,
just before the heyday.
Hey, right. Mike, he's talking about you fuck ass.
Well, Nicolas Cage's next film role will be Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Have you heard about this, Brian?
The singularity.
Will star in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. It's a meta comedy that will follow Cage desperately trying to land a role in a new Tarantino movie while also dealing with a strained relationship with his teenage daughter. He also occasionally talks to an egotistical 1990s version of himself.
I'm in.
Who rides,
it's fantastic.
Who rides him for making too many crappy movies and not being
so
a star anymore.
I got no problem with it.
It's supposed to, it's being produced by Lionsgate. It'll be Cage's first major studio release
in 2011. They had to convince him to do this. And he finally said, okay, I'll do it.
Oh, it's
gonna
be
good.
How
could you not do this? This is, and then Tarantino will put him in the next movie, too.
I bet. Now, there's
a
Jean-Claude Van Damme
that
I never got to the bottom of.
I interviewed the man
and couldn't get to the bottom of whether
he was... Did you ever see it?
No.
Oh, it's fun.
He confused me when he called into my morning show, and I couldn't figure out whether he was in it playing him, and he couldn't figure it out either.
But it's fun. It's a fun. He just saves, a bank from getting... He saves the day, but he saves it as him. It's fun.
You must have covered Nick Cage extensively back in the day.
Well, yeah, he had a lot going on back then, but he was in the news a lot. But he was a lot of fun too. Nick Cage,
he and Jim Carrey are like good friends from the old days.
Well, they really? Were Jim Carrey.
They were in Peggy Sue Got Married
That's
together.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
I remember someone told me that Nick Cage would just he was doing the movie with somebody, Face Off. He was doing with Travolta, and somebody told me at one point he said to John, I'm going to go buy some glassware. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go get up early, buy some glassware. I'd like to come by. And John was like, I love glassware. And they both went, what glassware? These fucking weird people.
John thought it was code.
Maybe. Well, he's called into the show. Nicholas Cage, he couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, oh, Cage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he's a cool guy.
He's eccentric and he makes bad movie choices, but let's not forget that Nick Cage is and was a great actor.
I still watch his crappy movies on Netflix. I just saw one, Dog Eat Dog, the other night.
Yeah.
And I watch him.
Also, in a way, he's like a 50s black heavyweight who owes the IRS a bunch of money and has to fight his 50s. Like, exactly. You go, what's this guy doing?
He used to be great.
He used to be great. So, yeah, he owes money. He owes money. He's got divorced, the IRS. He's got a fight.
He's got three ex-wives. Didn't he remember that married that chick that over the weekend and they were sitting drunk and loaded screaming at each other in Vegas?
Yeah.
He's had a ball.
Yeah. All right. Let me hit Simply Safe here. Thinking about home security. No better time than now. This week, Simply Safe is offering my listeners a huge exclusive deal for Black Friday. 25% off any new system, plus a free HD security camera. How about that? Everything you need to keep your home safe. Entry sensors, motion sensors, video doorbells, smart locks that lock your door automatically when you forget. Plus 24/7 professional monitoring that dispatches police 3 to 5 times faster. We all use it here. Peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. No drilling, no pulling wires. Set it up yourself. It all arrives in the mail. Batteries last up to 10 years. Don't wait. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. 25% off plus free security camera. Don't miss the amazing Black Friday deal coming up. Simply two eyes in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Yes.
Can I blow your guys' mind real quick? Just speaking of Nicolas Cage. I don't think I've said it on the show before, but Damashek and I came to do the actor redundancies, right? Where the actor does the same thing in two unrelated movies. And right. It's like, how about that? James Gandolfini.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Set on fire in two movies, 8mm. And True Romance. The actors who set him on fire, Patricia Arquette, yes. Nicolas Cage, were married in real life for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you.
That's the fight scene of Gandolfini and Arquette in the bathroom. It's
great.
It's unbelievable. It's great. Wow. What a movie that was.
That was a fun movie.
I love it.
Well, Kevin Hart gave fans a look at his rehab routine over the weekend. The actor who nearly died in a car wreck earlier this year posted a workout video, which I think we have, on Instagram Saturday. In the caption, he wrote that he's not trying to get back to where he was before the accident. He's trying to reach new levels of greatness.
Oh, for
new levels of greatness.
I can't take that.
Take it from me, it's not going
to
happen.
He says, I want to inspire and motivate people to challenge themselves to be great. We all have greatness within. It's up to us to tap into it. And he's doing, you know, one-legged...
If many people in my life would work their way up to mediocre, I'd be over the moon. Forget about the greatness. Don't tap into mediocre, everybody.
I don't know what kind of back surgery you had that you can do this soon. I think we got sold a bunch of bullshit about how serious his back injury
was. He's got a ball, yoga ball that it's he's whatevering on.
This is not what they want you to do with a bed. Dumbbells on one leg? Get the fuck out of here. I'm still chewing Percocets at this point. I've had two back surgeries. You don't do this in your house after two back surgeries. There's a lot we don't know about that car wreck. Trust me.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, there's a bunch of shit with that. This guy's the peak of his career. He's got, 1,500 movies so far. We'll never know the truth. It will come out eventually. The guy, his friend really driving? Was the girl in the car, you know, banging Kevin Hart? But there's so much crap going on. He leaves the scene to go to his house to get the guys to go back to the scene. Then he calls the cop. If we're in a car right now and it flips over, we're calling the cops right away. I'll be right back. I gotta go to my house.
This is black acquitting.
Jesus Christ.
A lot of controversy.
Yeah.
Swirling. Yeah.
We'll never know the truth.
It's like Epstein. Black acquitting. You're right.
Well, you know, next year at this time, we're going to play this audio because, of course, something's going to come out. AJ's always right.
All right. Urban Dictionary, if you're listening, you're welcome, bitch. Add that to Black Simile.
Oh, I love it.
All right. First off, I like the motivation of the guy.
Sure.
I like his positivity. I like where he comes from. I like the work ethic. He does those movies with The Rock, and he probably sees The Rock doing what The Rock is doing, and he's like,
careful.
I gotta get in on some of that.
Careful.
Uh-oh.
He's got to be careful.
You got to be careful.
No, this guy, look, I like Kevin Hart. I liked him before he was huge, but I just think he's, there's a lot of shady stuff. Look, he always gets caught for cheating. He's a terrible cheat, but he has these girls who put up with it because he has so much money that he gets away with it. He's living very dangerously. This is not the last time you're going to hear about something bad happening to him.
Well, when you have, again,
no.
all the money and all the power and all the everything minus the, you know, it's basically what I think a lot of people run into who you grow up hungry. I grew up eating at other people's houses and, you know, free spaghetti night at the church and school lunch voucher, you know, ticket programs and stuff like that. Now I'm fucking rich. My daughter orders like Shake Shack the other day.
Yeah.
I'm walking into the gym and I poke my head into the theater where she is, and she's got the burger just sitting on the tray, just sitting there with the fries, and I'm staring at it, and I'm like, you paid for this.
You never forget that.
It's sitting there. Yeah. I want that burger. Go to the gym.
Right.
Go to the gym. Then I go to the gym. The whole time I'm in the gym thinking about the burger.
Of course.
Thinking about the burger. I'm like, I'm going to take one bite. No, I'm not taking one bite. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to tell Natalia. She's going to go down. She's got to take care of that burger. And then I go, wait a minute. I'll zap it in the microwave. I'll eat the whole fucking thing. Okay, but not the fries. Wait.
Just the burger.
I'll take the burger off the bun. Yeah. That's what I'll do.
Good.
That's all I'll do now. That's my life.
I never thought I'd say this, but your life kind of sucks.
It does, and I live with three people who don't put weight on. So, like, open the fridge, a big pile of pork fried rice and lo mein and everything. I just stare at it the whole time.
I cook every night. So even if I do tend to diet once in a while, once I start cooking for the family, I'm dipping into that food. I can't help it.
Well, also, you steal basil, right?
Well, listen, saffron and shallots. Get it right. And pinoli nuts. Three items I go. Let me ask you a question. If pinoli nuts, a bag as big as your hand, just your palm, costs $18, I ain't fucking buying that.
Yeah.
That's going in my pocket.
Do you do this math with cars?
I can't.
Hey, Ferrari, come on.
I can
get a Ford Focus for $18,000. Give me a fucking break here.
This iPhone's the size of my hand.
I will tell a guy.
Just hope Diamond's the size of
my father would tell guys, throw the socks in with the shoes. Like, you have to get a deal. And I found myself at Barney's in L.A. one time when I first got here going, give me socks with the shoes. The guy said, we don't do that. I said, just give me a pair of socks with the shoes. I just spent $700 on two shoes. Can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
So then you rob pinoli nuts. So it equals out. Down the road, you get back at people. You get back at the world.
Understood. They owe you.
Electricity's too expensive, so I'm stealing shallots now just to make it even.
All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Damn, I got a case of the clap.
Gina. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, I will accept Maxipata.
Oh, no.
I will accept Angel asking Jimmy for a favor.
Oh, that's great.
Come on, Jimmy. You got to say, this guy's a real deal. This guy's a...
They mean business,
Jimmy.
Breaking bones, your bone breaker.
I'll get it back to you.
Yeah. I'm good for it.
I need my bones.
I'm good for it.
All right, Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to pressure. Castrol Edge, or friction, I should say. Three times, fool. Stronger than leading full synthetic Castrol Edge, everybody. All right, AJ Benza, fame is a bitch. AJ breaks down the scandals and tragedies of Hollywood. It's a column every week in Star Magazine as well, and the podcast, Fame is a Bitch. You can get it, we get it on iTunes.
Everywhere. iTunes, the whole thing.
All right, Maxipata, anything?
I'm not finding any begging yet. There's so many clips you asked for, and these are old shows. They're not all uploaded.
I don't know how the internet works. I got to be honest. Sometimes stuff's like right there, and sometimes it's not. Any interaction.
I really don't think it's paging Dan Tana either. Everywhere I'm seeing, it's paging Mr. Cohen, Burt Cohen.
Oh, God.
Every time he walks into a hotel.
All right, I'll find that myself. But any of Angel. All you need is a scene with Angel and Jim Rockford, and if you find a scene, Angel be groveling.
Yeah.
That's
I got to look it up when I go home now.
That's how.
Oh, you won't have to.
Wait a minute.
He's got a deal going.
I'm not worried, he said. Daddy, you folded like a cheap paper bag. I never saw it.
What a cork in it, Angel.
Big Goody Two-Shoes going to be the model citizen. What happened to Mr. Duran?
Angel, you're driving me crazy.
Rub him up.
And I am going crazy. I can't take it anymore.
Damn it. Years and years and years. I'm going out of my mind. You're stupid. Ridiculous lies and games year after year.
Send me my windpipe.
Come on, Jimmy.
Look at me. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything.
That's Chris Bohm's dad and my dad.
What? I'm sorry.
All right.
Oh,
that's
God.
Good. Yeah. Now I remember the guy.
You remember that after, right?
Of course.
All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com. I'm doing live shows everywhere and taco.
Get 10-minute chunk on Angel.
Yeah.
And Good Sports coming up next. And Crank Yankers coming up on Wednesday on Comedy Central. And Laughs with Bald Brian. Yeah. Audio available and the podcast of the podcast at adamcarolla.com. And all the money's going to charity. Mm. So until next time, man. Pearl from Mark Garagos and AJ Benza and Gina Grad and Bald Brian say mahalo.
Best way to get over a girl is to get under another one.
Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damaschek and Adam Carolla is coming right up.
Get your tickets now for Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. December 7th at Virginia Street Brew House in Reno. December 13th and 14th in Oxnard at Levity Live. In Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater on January 24th. And at Chicago's Park West on January 25th. Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to some hot sports talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damaschek here. Reminder, make sure if you're interested in pro football, check out the Dave Damaschek football program, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And over there, Adam Carolla, he needs no introduction, but I'll introduce him anyway. Hello, Adam Carolla. How are you?
I'm doing well, Shaq.
All right, let's dig into the big story from Week 11, or where it started, at least, last Thursday night. It is always a gray area when it's a collision sport, and obviously for 60 minutes, to our delight, we watch large human beings run into each other on purpose and essentially assault each other. Did you think Myles Garrett crossed the line by taking off the helmet of Steelers backup QB Mason Rudolph and swinging it at him? We're looking at it as we speak in case you need any reminder.
I watched it. I watched it in real time. It was kind of fun. It was up on the TV, and Sonny and I were actually in my gym in my house, a little home gym, and I was teaching the boys some boxing, and he's actually quite good at it. And we're working out a little, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's screaming. Now, so here's the thing, Garrett and Rudolph. Okay, I am a very much. I go through life like Stallone does when he's hitchhiking through the Northeast, which is like, or the Northwest probably. Mm-hmm. I think of it as him, like who drew first blood. You know what I mean? Now, first things first, you're at the end of the game and the game's over and the Steelers have just been abysmal and turned in a really bad performance, and it's now time just to throw some sort of screen pass and have the guy get tackled in bounds and let the clock run out and everyone go home and you guys celebrate. We'll go lick our wounds over here if we're Steelers fans. Garrett sacks the quarterback in a way that's wildly unnecessary.
That is exactly right, Ace. That's exactly right. You might say, well, Mason Rudolph started it. Did he?
No, he didn't.
He pulls him violently to the ground unnecessarily.
The game is over. Mason Garrett has like both arms by his side. Garrett has him in a bear hug, and it's clear that the ball's been released or that Rudolph does not possess the ball. Why is it that at this point of the game, and also you've dominated the line of scrimmage. You've sacked this rookie quarterback or this third QB, you know, third in the depth chart. This guy's had the worst night of his life. Do we have to punctuate it by throwing him on the ground one last time when the ball's been released? Now, I was watching it a few times, and I was like, did Garrett see that the ball's released? Like, I sometimes...
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't like it when they flagged the defensive lineman like, oh, he went in low. It's like, well, he got chop blocked. He was getting back on his feet. He lunged at the quarterback, and he didn't see that the guy had released the ball downfield or whatever it is. This seemed pretty clear to me that he knew he didn't have the ball. And
that was my read on it, right?
Like, why are you pulling him to
the
ground?
Why are you wrestling him? Why not catch and release? And you didn't get there. He checked the ball down before you got there. And not only, it's one thing to get that kind of shoulder lick in, like, hey, here's a little parting gift for you.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to the NFL. But it's kind of weird to tie a guy up and struggle, sort of wrestle him to the ground. He doesn't have the ball. It seems overtly, sort of blatantly, whatever, and emotionally, like you cross the line. Like, I get the part where the quarterback releases a ball and you chip him with your shoulders, you go by or try to knock him down or whatever that is. But, you know, you take less than two steps, bang onto him or whatever.
Fine. But by the way,
but he tackled him and he wrestled him to the ground. And the reason Rudolph reacted the way Rudolph reacted was of exactly that. The game was over. He clearly released the ball and he was like struggling to wrestle him down to the ground as if to make some sort of statement about.
Let's say that you're right that the possibility exists. Garrett doesn't know that Rudolph doesn't have the ball anymore. Rudolph, as you mentioned, frustrated, a terrible night professionally, a real letdown for his teammates and everything else. So he gets punctuates the end of a woeful night. And so he's frustrated and he crosses the line. Speaking of the ball, he kicked at the balls of Myles Garrett and was wrangling with kind of his helmet and everything else.
Oh, he did kick at the balls.
Yeah, well,
not know that.
Okay. Those are bad things that cross a line, obviously. But the defense, well, who started it? Hey, don't start trouble if you can't finish it, all that kind of stuff. All right, Myles Garrett took the guy's helmet off, and he it's an emptied out bowling ball. It's a 6-pound hard thing that you're swinging with a handle on it. The two points that people keep making are, one, what would the reaction have been if that was Tom Brady, not a backup QB? How the apocalypse would be upon us. Mm-hmm. One. And two, what if Myles Garrett's the lucky one that thing didn't hit? It just so happened it hit on the foamy. It hit Mason Rudolph on the head where it's foamy, the underside of the helmet. But he wasn't attempting to hit him with that part. He was trying to hit him with any part. If that thing conks Mason Rudolph and it knocks him cold and splits his head and he's bleeding unconscious on the field, imagine that as the result. And then what would the national reaction be? People should ask themselves before they mount these absurd defenses of, well, hey, you got kicked and everything. Well, yeah, that happens a fair amount. It's not acceptable. It's a 15-yard penalty and everything. This was, you know, this is legitimately borderline assault.
I didn't see the kick part that adds something. But first off, I will take a little dive in the helmet department because I have unique insights.
Mm.
First things first, yes, if that were a Prussian-style helmet with the point on top, he could have lost an eye.
That's true.
He could have been killed. That's number one. So let's thank our lucky stars that he was not of Prussian descent.
I like when people are trying to make a serious point when they say he could have been seriously injured or worse.
Or worse. That's right.
All right. We get it.
Super duper injured or are we talking dead?
We're showing you the kick here. We think that the kick comes when they're both on the ground. And if you look closely, Rudolph's leg does seem to fly a little bit towards
all right,
Gary.
Fine.
Is there, Gary and you guys, does he?
It's right there.
Is there
the ground.
A part where he thinks, is it possible that Garrett did not see him release the ball? It's tough. It's tough to tell.
It's possible.
So what? So what?
So
the play extended too far after the whistle. That doesn't mean that you take a helmet and swing it at a guy.
What I'm saying is you wrestling him to the ground was really absurd. Like, I really, obviously the swing is nuts, but the wrestling him to the ground part was totally unnecessary unless he legitimately thought he still had the ball, although he probably would have been trying to strip it if he thought he had the ball. But either way, I'd be curious. Look, if Garrett were smart, he'd at least say, I did not see him release the ball. I thought he had the ball. I thought I was sacking
that
him.
That would actually then the create next some thing, nuance.
Then
right.
The next thing you know, this guy's trying to kick me in the nuts because I sacked him. I didn't realize he got the ball. And after he kicked me in the nuts, I just saw red after that point. That would help his case.
You're exactly right about that. Yes. Now, make it something relatable. But the other part is that's vexing the Steelers fans is that Marquise Pouncey has been shelved, Myles Garrett out for 6 games. Marquise Pouncey suspended as well because he came to the defense. And if you watch it in real time for what that matters, and everything's bang bang in football, pro sports and everything. But Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro immediately suppress Myles Garrett. This isn't a football fight, though. This is somebody who's gone, like you say, is seeing red. He's swinging a helmet violently. He just conked the QB on the head. They're trying to put him on the ground. The idea that Marquise Pouncey somehow crossed the line by... In real time, if you watch it in 2 seconds, once they get him down on the ground, they're like, get this guy. And by the way, the Browns should have been doing that, too. The guy's lost his mind. He's trying to kill people. He's trying to seriously injure or worse.
Well, also, the guy who went and chipped him in the back after he got conked in the head's not a great.
Also,
that guy only got 1 game. And that's my problem here. I'll admit that Pouncey does throw some kicks, which probably isn't the best look when you're reviewing the video. But the guy from the Browns going after a player without a helmet on who's already been assaulted and
from behind
to the ground from behind.
Yeah.
Is not 1 game versus 3 games for I threw 2 kicks at a guy who had his helmet on.
Well, what did Pouncey get?
3 games.
He got 3 games. Yes. So here's the way I feel. When you see your quarterback get bonked on the head with a helmet, whatever happens after that, in terms of you overreacting, should be looked at with a grain of salt.
Yes, right. If you start the film, the only way to justify that is if you see it without seeing the inciting event.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Grain of salt, by the way, sounds like a low-carb diet that should come out with a book. Get Tortorich on the phone. New book, Grain of Salt. All right. Tomorrow's show, I will tell you about these helmets and what I know about them.
Oh, good. Looking forward to that.
First, I'll tell you about Geico. You want to save a bunch of money on your auto insurance? You go to geico.com. Spend 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money and put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico. Go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes, and find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at Geico. That is geico.com.
All right, very nice, Ace. We'll be back with the aforementioned helmet insight from Adam Carolla. Until then, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 for tickets and info on everything, especially the Adam Carolla is unprepared for the holidays dates. Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com.